Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russ and Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Dynastud, and my problem is that nobody will trade with me because the offseason is dead.
That's true. And he's not in the questions anymore. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 421 of the Trade X podcast, where even the network went away. The DAP is always here to stay. And everybody, we're back. Yeah, it's been a good 3 weeks. Everyone's rested. I think Rocky and I are going to look like geniuses when we see how many trades and key news items we have, but Dynastud did an excellent job of tracking
a month
the news
off
for us.
Almost. Yeah.
Right.
It's basically a normal show length. Yeah.
It's literally a normal show in the fall. Yeah. It's probably a light show for a fall show, but, first off, there's no one we'd rather have help us break down the summer catch up than Ari. Dynastud, not in the questions this week. Ari, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. It's 4:30 in the morning here, but I got a solid 6 hours of sleep by going to sleep early, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Ari is in the, I will call it the European time zone. I will not dox him completely where he is, but unless he wants that. But yes, it's very early where he is, and we sincerely appreciate him coming out. I guess people know who you are from the questions, but why don't you drop your socials and all that stuff where people can find you?
Yeah, I'm literally just on Twitter, basically following Frank, Rocky, and the gang. if you like look at the list of people I'm following, it's strictly fantasy football related because I'm a little bit of a sicko, as you know. But I'm Football Dynastud, FT Ball Dynastud. You can see my link in Frank's tweet about the show, or just look at the questions literally any week.
Yes.
That's typically where you'll find me.
Yes, absolutely. He follows all fantasy people and probably Jalen Brunson, because if people are watching on patreon.com/trackspot, he is wearing his Knicks jersey because his Knicks, since we have actually been on last, the Knicks won the NBA Finals. Couldn't happen to a worse group of fans, but that's not including Ari. So
Sixers are coming for him next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I decided that the NBA has ended permanently now that the Knicks are champions. I've pretty much given up on basketball. The only sport that I now follow is football. So I might be even more of a sicko moving forward, Frank.
Yes, there we go. All right, well, let's get into
the news.
And I kind of broke it out. So as I said, Ari did a good job of kind of tracking everything. So I kind of broke it out into a lot of different things. We'll start with kind of the one bad piece, and then we'll get into a lot of the happy stuff. Alec Pierce might be sidelined well into training camp due to his offseason left ankle surgery. Ari, I personally am not super worried yet. I took him in a mock in round 7 for Scott Fishbowl. So what are you thinking of Alec Pierce? Are you scared, or are you saying, you know, training camp injury, he's probably fine? Let's just wait and see till August and we'll start panicking later.
Well, I think if I was a Pierce owner, I would be panicking a little bit. The problem is really take the injury out of it. I've never been an Alec Pierce guy. He's a guy who's, I think, really valuable for a real life NFL offense because he stretches the field vertically. But for the fantasy purposes, he's not getting a whole lot of receptions. There were a lot of weapons there. There still are a lot of weapons. Tyler Warren, we know, is a really good player. Josh Downs may be even better than we've seen previously. Just hasn't had the snaps. Maybe they'll go to more three wide looks to get him on the field a little bit more. But now they got rid of Pittman, so maybe he'll be on the field for two wide looks. I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. But I think with that contract that they gave him, again, for real life football in the offseason, I don't think they're going to rush him back. So Daniel Jones also might not be 100% early in the season. I don't know exactly how they're going to handle it, but I don't think from a fantasy perspective, he's going to be super valuable this year.
Rocky?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Ari. I don't really worry too much about Alec Pierce either way because I don't really think much about Alec Pierce as a fantasy asset. I think I have zero shares of Alec Pierce. So I was just looking again just to refresh my memory because like I feel like last year was his best year and he was wide receiver 44 in TA scoring. So he's going to have a couple boom weeks for fantasy. Like if he misses the beginning of the year, do I really care even if I have him on my roster? No, because I can't guarantee he's going to have one of those boom weeks in the first 3 to 4 weeks anyway. So
he's not. I'm looking at the schedule, which we'll get to in a second.
But, I mean, he's not a guy I'm looking to ever regularly start anyway. So he's just, like, more like bi-week filler. So if he doesn't start the beginning of the year, then there's no bi-weeks at the beginning of the year anyway. So
yeah. I thought it was a really good point by Ari, not necessarily being worried about Pierce himself, but as this offense moves forward without Pittman, what it's going to look like, could Pierce kind of get left behind as Downs and Warren go forward? They also have a rookie from Oklahoma whose name I'm already forgetting because he's a rookie from Oklahoma. But the first four games for the Indianapolis Colts are Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston, and Washington in London.
Oh, wow.
So, and then they go to Pittsburgh. So
maybe I think I'm with Rocky in that I have zero shares that I know about off the top of my head, but, yeah. Now that he mentioned it, that was something I hadn't considered before. Like, if he really struggles early in the season because he's not 100%, then maybe he is a decent philo to try to get a boom week out of a bye week later in the season. Yep. I don't know.
Yeah, no, his schedule lightens up a lot after that. But, yeah, no, the first – I like that kind of waiting and seeing how things go. The problem with that is people who hold injured players through the first part of the season are usually very stubborn to give them away once they like took the risk of holding him the whole time. So, okay. Tucker Kraft, no restrictions week one. It sounds like, Ari, is he your favorite pass catcher in Green Bay?
I have been more optimistic about the other Packers pass catchers than I have been in the past. I had a bunch of Christian Watson at the beginning just because he was like late first round, early second round, around that range where it wasn't too expensive when he originally came out. And I held a bunch because there were injuries. There was no real good time to sell him. Jaden Reed, I picked up pretty cheap a couple times this offseason. So I like some of the stuff they have going on. I'm not a golden guy at all. I think Kraft is really good, but he never got cheap because of the injury. You mentioned like people who have held for a long time, they aren't likely to sell. I tend to try to buy closer to when they get back because I've been burned by holding injured guys for too long in the past. But I just haven't been successful in getting any. So I don't have any. I don't like that I don't have any, but the price has just never been right. And I think that the wide receivers are going to be more involved this year. There has been some talk on Twitter about them going to more 11 personnel. I assume Kraft is the tight end in those sets because he's also a good blocker in real life. But I don't know. I think the tight end, until I see him really back, I'm not necessarily going to put him back into that like top three tight end range. But he's good. I anticipate he's going to continue to be good once he's recovered. The question is just when that is.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree on that. I don't expect to see him like, yeah, top three. I'm not putting him in that range, top five even, until he's back on the field and producing. But I do think, for me, he's still my preferred Green Bay pass catcher for this, at least for the second half of the year. Yeah. I do, though, agree. I don't hate the Green Bay wide receivers as much as I sometimes do or as much as Frank does. With them at least slightly thinned out this year, Wicks is gone, Dobbs is gone. So I do like kind of Watson and maybe Reed's chances of performing well. Watson was low end wide receiver too when he came back last year, over the second half of last year.
Is that per game?
I would assume per game. Yeah. Average 13.2 points per game over the second half of the year when he came back. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility he could actually be finally – I did – he was someone I really liked coming out too. And then he did not do much and got hurt all the time for the first 2 years of his career. But I do think he could be valuable, but I still would rather have Kraft regardless of cost. He's just – I don't care. He's the one I can depend on, I believe, after the
– Watson. Watson is one of those players that really – like exemplifies the divide between the like deeper analytics community and the like just looking at stats on the surface level community, because a lot of his like per route stuff is really good. But also he wasn't on the field for a bunch of time last year. If you look at his overall stats, people are like, he's never gone past like 700 yards or something like that. I forget the exact number. So some people are like, I have to see him producing elite before I trade for him as an elite value. But when he's on the field and healthy, he's certainly producing. So, I have a couple of shares. I traded a couple away, which I'm now regretting a little bit. I don't know exactly what to do with him moving forward, and I'm not sure the community knows exactly what to do with him either.
It's funny. I checked just because you said you weren't sure of the number. It's three of his 4 years he's had between exactly 611 and 620 yards in three of his four seasons. Wow. So that's where he's topping out right now.
He's consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, Watson feels like someone – I know Peter Howard's not doing as much content anymore. He feels like someone Peter Howard would have hated back in the day, just like – the guy who loves looking in the box score and all that stuff and doesn't go on gut. He feels like he would have hated Christian Watson. Okay. Extensions. We'll do the two tight ends together. Kyle Pitts got a 3-year, $54 million extension. Ugh, I'm so mad about this one. Brenton Strange got a 3-year, $48 million extension. Ari, would you rather have Strange or Pitts?
I guess Pitts, just because he's better from a fantasy perspective and has less competition. But even his competition is better than I think people are giving him credit for. People are looking at that year where he finally came back to something closer to what his rookie year was and are like, oh, see, the hype is real type of thing. And I'm not willing to go back to the well so much. To be fair, I should like give my disclosure that I was like the Kyle Pitts stan truther, whatever you want to call it, for a long time after that.
You were the guy sending four firsts for Kyle Pitts in like 2022.
I traded early in, I think, 2022 or 2023. It was my first ever Dynasty League. I traded Kyle Pitts for Saquon straight up. That still has not come back for me till now. So I was burned. I was like at almost 100% Kyle Pitts ownership across my leagues at one point, and I got rid of it. So I might be a little bitter and still having leftover negative feelings towards him. But just like even still last year, you look at his splits with London on the field versus not, it's not good. And yeah. I think if London had stayed healthy, we would still be having that same Kyle Pitts conversation of when is this guy going to go back to what we saw that rookie year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he makes a good point about the splits. But, I mean, for the season, Kyle Pitts was the – well, I don't know if you go points per game. I think it might be three or four. But he was the tight end, too, on the year last year.
Because he had a 60-point game or something.
That is true. Players. That is true.
With London out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he also had like four. I'm counting four in trade deck scoring 20-point games besides that as well.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked about this before, but Stefanski has generally had good production from his tight ends.
And two of Life's tight ends too.
Yeah. And so I would easily rather have Kyle Pitts or Brenton Strange. And I still have hopes for Pitts here, especially like, David Njoku came like rose to not greatness but goodness under Stefanski, and is kind of a similar athletic type tight end, receiving tight, like big receiver type of tight end. So I think that I'm kind of bullish on Pitts. So I would definitely, it would be easily Pitts over Strange, but I feel like Pitts could have another top five season again.
Yeah. To help out. Go ahead.
I'll go further. If you switched their teams right now, I think I would still want Pitts. Just because, like, strange, even with less competition, I'm just less confident in the underlying talent level.
I think he has more.
Who is this guy? He came out of nowhere.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If he's on the Falcons with less, for the sake of the competition, and I noticed this when I took Zachariah Branch in a couple of rookie drafts, but this is who is behind Drake London at wide receiver. Jahan Dotson, Olamide Zaccheaus, Dylan Drummond, Vinny Anthony II. I'm not making these up. Chris Blair, Antoine Wells Jr., Lamiki Brockington, and Keelan Marion.
I'm pretty sure you were just like a college football video game name generator right there.
Literally. Yes. So by the way, like if you haven't done rookie drafts or anything, like if people haven't done those yet, like Zachariah Branch is someone absolutely you should be looking at because he has zero competition for wide receiver two. But for the sake of this argument, I would say I would take Kyle Pitts.
I said, well, Kyle Pitts is essentially wide receiver two.
Yes, but I'm saying like there's no one in the Mooney role right now.
Who was
Mooney was a top 24 wide receiver when he was fully healthy on the Falcons. But I will take Pitts too. I think it's pretty easy. If I were to make the case for Strange, the Jags are starting to feel like the Packers a little bit, where they have three receivers that are just going to make you tear your hair out because you don't know which one of them is going to do really well. But Strange feels like the guy who could consistently kind of get you 12 or 13 points in this type of offense where they're going to score probably a lot. And it sounds like the running backs are going to be kind of a disaster because Chris Rodriguez is coming back healthy and Cohen likes him and Tootin has not been doing super well in camp lately and Cohen doesn't like it. It sounds like the running backs are going to be kind of gross. So it could be Strange catching some balls in the end zone and having more touchdowns this year.
The only thing I'll add is that they drafted tight ends in round 2 and round 5. The fifth rounder, Koziol, is actually the one with the pass catching skill set. So it's possible that there are even going to be fewer wide receiver snaps to go around in addition to just not knowing who to go to among those three wide receivers.
Yes.
That's just like a mess. I think my take on that is just going to be get some Trev if you can and like avoid the pass catching room altogether, kind of like Green Bay, like you said.
Yeah. I didn't realize they took Borkutcher. I think he's the A&M guy, right? It doesn't matter. They need to trade one of those three. I don't know. Like, there's people who need wide receivers right now. Like, can we put Brian Thomas on the Raiders or something? Like, someone who needs a one, and let's just give him a fresh start. It just feels like overkill. And, by the way, for anyone who has doubt now that Travis Hunter is going to play defense, I'm sorry, you burned a rookie pick. He's playing defense. And with this extension, that tells me that more than ever, because they have basically all three of them or all four of them now locked in to play for a couple of years. So he feels like a
corner. It happens. I agree with you, but I still think there are going to be those random package plays where they design.
Oh, of course.
The ball to
he's Jabril Peppers.
And his like stands are going to just like go crazy every time he makes a really cool catch and run and try to trade him high. So resist the urge based on the cool highlights.
No, don't
he's still
for it.
Primarily defense.
I think if you took him at the 102 or 103, like I know I did in one place, like it's probably you probably lit it on fire at this point, which just stinks. But he will be a very good defensive player. He's probably a better corner than he is a wide receiver anyway. So it's probably better for the Jags in that sense. Jalen Coker, 3-year, $35 million extension. I put this on here because it's an extension, and as I call them, the Cokeheads are always very excited about the anything that happens with Jalen Coker. He's probably wide receiver two right now because everything behind him is like Leggett and Brazel and, you know, all these kind of younger players. So, Ari, are you a Cokehead? Are you in the Coke Hive with all the other people?
I mean, I think he's certainly better than undrafted, which is what he was at the end of the day. But I'm just not sure that the wide receiver two catching balls from Bryce Young matters until Bryce Young shows me something more. Tet is, I think, the sun around which everything revolves, basically, in Carolina. And I'm not sure I want anything else in that pass catcher room.
I just co-sign everything he just said. I don't really have anything to add to that.
Perfect.
Not really interested in Jalen Cooker.
I agree. I think he's an excellent best ball guy. If you haven't taken anyone like or done your best ball drafts yet, I'd be interested in Dave Kluge's thoughts on that because he's doing all those best ball drafts right now.
I've never gotten into best ball. How many best balls are you actually in?
15.
Rocky, do you do best ball at all?
No.
Yeah,
he does Eliminator with me, but I run the team.
Yeah, I just say
they're all Eliminators. They're Fantasy Cares things. They're not. I don't play like best balls with like the big money like Kluge does and some of those other guys. I don't do any of that. But I play a lot of Eliminators, which are all best ball. And I'm in Rainbow Bowl. I just got added by Joey Wright to that. So, anyways, Mahomes is extended through 2033. Amazing, good for him. I think he's still making like less than some of the quarterbacks, which is crazy. And Peyton extended through 2030. What happened with Peyton and Belichick? Did anyone see this?
That was the craziest story I've ever seen.
Can you tell it? Because I didn't read the whole story.
Yeah,
I didn't even read the whole thing also, but apparently Peyton, I guess, must be friends with Belichick or something like that. Or
he tried to like seed wins or something, right?
He was going to be like, oh, I'll be demoted to assistant coach temporarily until Belichick gets to the wins record. I'll just run the offense, and then I'll take back over the team. Like, has there ever been like
Broncos,
a part-time like head coach? Yeah, he was like, bring him in here. Great.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Was this serious?
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes, this was a story today, is that Peyton apparently because, yes, that's kind of what I read, too, is he was going to, like, seed – head coaching position of the Broncos till Belichick beat the wins record and then kick him back to Chapel Hill and take back over.
Just out of curiosity, how many wins does Belichick
have? No idea.
15.
How many?
15.
That's 2 years.
He could do
years.
That this season.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm not understanding. Like, you can't. You're assuming the team's going to go 15-1.
I know.
He's going to suck at UNC this year too. UNC is going to be a bad team. He's going to get kicked. He's going to get fired off that team. And it's going to be very sad. And then maybe Peyton will bring him to the Broncos and be offensive coordinator, which is just the, I don't want to say that word on this program, but it's that type of thing. It rhymes with suck. Let's go with the quick hits. Pickens is going to play on the tag. That's good. We don't need him causing issues. No suspension coming for Diggs. He's unsigned. He's been tied to Washington because of this Ayuk stuff, which I'll get to in a second because good God almighty. I would love him on Washington. Would you guys trade something for him if he was on Washington as the wide receiver too?
For sure. Yeah, I might trade something second for him speculatively second. Now, assuming he's going to go somewhere like Washington, there really needs a wide receiver or a place that should Vegas. Be trading for Parker
what
Washington.
What is Vegas doing? What we have Diggs, we have people who want to be traded, Keenan Allen. So is Vegas just really going to roll out with Naylor and Bowers for this season? Like, what is happening? I don't get it.
With the rookie quarterback. Who I know is probably not going to start the year.
That's the thing, by the way. I wanted to touch on that a little bit. One of the things that I've been seeing like people tweeting about periodically, but not in any regular way, is that Fernando Mendoza is still not signed. Like, neither is Ty Simpson, but Ty Simpson, we assumed he was gonna sit at least year one until Stafford was ready. So, but like Mendoza, like people were like, oh, this Cousins thing is just like a backup plan. Really, the plan is for him to be out there week one. Number one, I don't think that was the plan all along. I certainly don't think after missing this much time, getting up to speed as a rookie, like Kirk Cousins might be a cheap buy at this point for someone who just needs like a QB2 to just like pull their weight.
You're tickling Rocky's fancy with that one. He loves Kirk Cousins. I saw you put that in the notes. I'm not worried about this stuff yet. It's usually like signing bonus BS that keeps these top guys out. But as of right now, I agree with you. I think it's probably Cousins. Their bye is week 13.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about them getting him signed, but has he been attending, like, different – like, yeah.
I just don't think he's playing. I think he's in the room. Okay. I think he's, like – because there's all these jokes that,
like
– yeah, there's all these jokes that, like, Mendoza's following Cousins around everywhere, and they look like stepbrothers. So
if he starts wearing plaid shirts, you have to be worried.
Oh, I guarantee they're wearing the same stuff. And that's not on purpose either. They're doing it on accident.
Hey, if Fernando Mendoza becomes Kirk Cousins' career, you should be thrilled.
He was a better college quarterback than Kirk Cousins. Mendoza was coming out. So, but yes, he should be thrilled. Although, did Cousins ever win a playoff game? He went to the playoffs.
Oh, I just mean from a fantasy perspective.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'd be psyched about that. Maybe he learns
maybe one playoff game, but I'm not sure.
He can learn to play at night, and that would be a big thing for them. But yeah, they have the bye in week 13. They play the Chargers, Denver, Tennessee, Arizona, and Kansas City. Who's going to be sitting? People probably. So maybe they play them the last five games, but there's no like mini buys in here. I'm just going through kind of the middle. It's all 7 days apart because the Raiders aren't like playing any primetime games. So yeah, it's going to be tough. Would you trade a contending second for Stephon Diggs right now, Ari, knowing he's going to be signed somewhere?
Well, because there was that like trial earlier in the offseason. He was cleared of wrongdoing, something with like his chef, but like
that's what the suspension he's not getting for. He's done with all that now. It's all behind him.
No, so he's not getting a suspension, but I think he had kind of the Ayuk vibes before Ayuk of just being like a knucklehead
and a headache for teams.
Yeah, for sure. Ayuk has totally like gone well beyond where Diggs was, but Diggs was kind of in that mold previously. Yes. And I think teams have to believe that he's going to be like a good, quiet citizen. And me looking in from the outside, everything that I've seen, I'm not sure he's that.
Yeah. He is a Washington guy. He went to Maryland. So I think this would be a bit of a homecoming for him. I don't know. That's not always the best thing, but could be good. Woody Marks is going to be the third down pass back. It sounds like it's going to be kind of like a committee, which I don't love, but it is what it is. Rashee Rice was released from jail. He's back at camp. Sorsby is done until 2027. This happened basically right after we I know. Rocky's waving his hands as a commissioner who doesn't have to deal with this crap until next year. I just put Brandon Ayuk, yikes. I mean, his latest post today on July 7th was he said he's not going to reinstate with the Niners because he wants to be a commander. And he can't be a commander without reinstating with the Niners. It's really bad. And like apparently Jaden Daniels like posted something that said like enjoy retirement and then deleted it. So it's
I didn't see that. So
yeah. So if even Jaden Daniels is telling him to F off, I think we're kind of done with Brandon Ayuk. Let's just get to Mark's question real quick. He said, is Ayuk fully droppable at this point? No,
I don't know.
In a world where we hold Andrew Luck until 2 years ago,
that was my thinking. He's not droppable now.
You have to,
especially not in like deeper leagues. But like, I had a tinfoil hat theory at the beginning that like he and Washington had like jointly tampered and tried to make him so toxic that the 49ers would like finally release him. But like, if this technical thing of like he has to reinstate himself so that they even can drop him, and he doesn't seem to realize that, like. I don't know how exactly that's going to happen. And also, even if that tinfoil hat theory were correct, like there are second order effects because number one, there's going to be more pressure on the front office in Washington to cut him if he isn't delivering on the field at the end of the day. And then other teams can't know about the plan because otherwise both of them get screwed for tampering. So his future options are limited to like non-existent. Like, isn't the bull case for him? Like, he goes to a Washington, he really pops off on the field, and then gets like a bigger extension because people are like, oh wait, this is Brandon Ayuk we're talking about. He's a really good player.
Who's like 26, by the way. He's not old. Like, he's still got plenty of years.
I just don't see who's giving him, like, a big deal at this point, knowing that all that crazy is lurking just beneath the surface.
Right.
Yep.
He's going to be – you could pay him top wide receiver money, but it's going to be one-year deals, like, the rest of his life because he doesn't – you don't want a five-year deal with him like the Niners just did, so –
So before this thing, I wanted to take a risk on him, but I did this once in the past with Deontay Johnson, and that was without the multi-ligament injury on top of his being viewed as a knucklehead and like a bad teammate. So at this point, I just think the risk is too high. I think if you have Ayuk, you're holding. I tried to make some lowball offers earlier in the offseason, but at this point, I'm not even doing that anymore.
I think if you want to take the risk, this is like we did with Antonio Brown on the Bucks all those years ago now, is – you attach him to something else and just see what you can get. And just, he's worth a third, if that, at this point.
Yeah.
And a third in this draft, not in 27. Yeah. 27's deep, but the answer to Mark's question is no, you can't drop him. Not yet. And it sucks, but because you're going to have to watch this knucklehead knowing that he – that you hold him and that you're stuck with it, but you just got to ride it out. And the Niners, by the way, since he's not reinstated with the team, are paying him zero money. It would cost them more to reinstate him than to hold him. They might just leave him in purgatory for the rest of their lives, and he probably deserves it at this point. Rocky, I said typical Eagles BS. Are we scared yet? They're not extending Jalen Carter. CJ Gardner-Johnson called out Saquon, said everyone's leaving because of him. Like, is this typical summer crap and we're just moving on, or is anything actually worried about?
Pretty much. I mean, I definitely don't care about what CJ Gardner-Johnson says.
Yeah, he talks a lot.
And there's probably a reason he's been on like four teams from the last 4 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Including the Eagles twice. They were different years.
Yeah.
But, the Jalen Carter thing, I'm not too worried about. I mean, he is coming off a shoulder thing, and he did have not as good, like a little bit of a down year last year compared to the previous year. A lot of talk around here is maybe because he played like so many friggin' snaps the year before when they made the Super Bowl run, and he was just playing like 95% of the snaps. So the hope is that he's a little rejuvenated with some, you know, downtime with the injury and missing the first game of the season. And so the snap.
He was just tired. That's why he spit on Dak.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I think they're probably going to re-sign him. I could see them waiting till into the season, though, and maybe extend
him. I think
something like that. But I think he's going to stay. I don't think he's going to get traded or anything.
This just smells like typical Eagles stuff, like hit pieces and all that stuff. It usually happens right around now. They'll be fine. I'm not worried.
Yep.
And then Chris Johnson announced he's dealing with ALS. Obviously very sad for a very high-level player, and seems like a good person. So I know there's a lot of ways to donate out there. Everyone should go find him. I just wanted to add that. But he's a legend. He deserves – he doesn't deserve that. But hopefully everything gets figured out.
He's trying to bring back the ice bucket challenge, apparently.
I saw that
brings some more creative ice bucket challenge content to
yes now that I'm there's totally, like AI and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah
it'll be cool. Okay, do you want to do trades or listener questions? I think I know what you're gonna answer.
I have to be on brand. We got to go with the listener questions.
That's what I thought. Okay, listener questions.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions and I want to have them answered immediately.
I think you're right, Rocky. I think it's good just as is. Okay, yes. We did Mark Shue's question. We're moving on to Kevin. Oh, my question was actually Ari's question from a few weeks ago is, what was it, like favorite?
Non-NFL
sporting event you wanted to attend. Mark said Wimbledon. I think that's my answer, too. It's one of them. But – Kevin, clearly not Kevin. He says, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed your time off. I know if I could attend any non-NFL sporting event, it would be a World Series game or Stanley Cup final. We'll get to y'all's answers at the end of this. But what would you do if someone kept bothering you to get a pick of theirs back in a future draft when you don't want to give it up? Their team won a championship last year, but blew up their team in the offseason. Well, I don't know why they would do that. And isn't competitive anymore. I want nothing from their team at cost. Hold the pick. Tell them to F off.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
I might try to convince them of things that you guys have told me in the past, because basically I was in not this exact situation, but a similar situation where I was like pivoting to try to blow things up. I didn't have my pick. And I was like, okay, so the first thing I have to do is get back my pick before I've like really like sent out all these signals of
yes,
I'm rebuilding and made the cost of the pick go up. So like, instead of being like a mid late in the round pick, it's viewed as an early round pick, even if you catch them somewhere in the middle. So they get a little bit of the benefit of that. Fine, like sell it at like a valuation of like pick 3-4, something like that. And then you have the upside of going for 101 if you want to go that way. But I would also just say what you guys have told me in the past, if you can't get back that pick from the other side, convince the guy that that's not the only way to rebuild. If you get a couple of other first rounders, that's okay too. It doesn't have to be yours. That's the ideal scenario, certainly. But like, definitely don't bother someone in the league who you might want to trade with in the future just because you're like obsessed with that specific pick.
Yes.
Yeah, this guy made the mistake of blowing up the team and then trying to get the pick back, as Ari said. Like, he should have done that before. If he knew he was going to do this, he should have done that early. At this point, yeah. I would say just make him pay out the nose, but it sounds like he has nothing worth giving up from the way this guy's asking the question, because he's already traded all his good assets. So
yeah,
just tell him to you know, F off.
Yeah.
In a nicer way. But like, I'm not sending this pick for anything on your team. Sorry.
This might have been the first lesson I learned on Trade Addicts like 200 something episodes ago at this point, where to get your pick back in a rebuild, you basically have to double what the price is for that pick in your mind, right? Because it's not – people know you need your pick back to do the rebuild. So, yeah, rake him over the coals. And if he doesn't want to give it, be happy that you have his pick and it's going to suck and he can rebuild other ways. But, yeah, I think hold strong, Kevin. Don't break. Okay.
Or trade it to a third party who maybe likes something more that's left on his team. Like, get the value that you would have wanted to get from this guy elsewhere, and then have him stop bothering you.
Exactly.
There you go.
Make up someone else's problem. I like that. Jesse Schott at jesseschott.bsky.social. What aging running back would you buy to help you win this year, other than Henry, since that's been the answer every year? And then we'll get to a second question in a second. But what's the aging running back? Saquon probably still.
Randomly.
I don't know, Rocky. Are you still happy with Saquon as an Eagles guy, or are you worried? Is Bigsby going to come mess this up now, or?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, as an Eagles guy, I kind of hope Bigsby messes it up a little, because he looks a lot better than Saquon did at times last year. I kind of think Saquon could bounce back a little bit, but I probably don't want to pay the price for Saquon that the Saquon owner is going to want for what I'm expecting this year. I'm expecting better than last year, but nowhere near 2 years ago. So, and maybe like at best 20% better than last year. I just feel like he's getting older. The offensive line in parts is getting older, is banged up in certain spots, or is coming off injuries. So I'm not super interested in buying Saquon. As a cheap guy to answer this question, I don't hate David Montgomery.
I was going to say him too. I love that. Okay,
go ahead. Yeah, especially, you know, if the Houston offense looks, you know, Stroud can pick it up a little more. Mm-hmm. Tank Dell is back, and just the whole offense all around is a little better. I think he could definitely do well in that role. Obviously, he's not going to catch a lot of passes, as you talked about Marks earlier, but he could be the touchdown guy, and we've seen him do well in Detroit. And you're not going to pay a lot. It's going to be like a second round pick type of thing.
Yeah.
So I think I agree with Rocky in the end. My first reaction when Montgomery went there was, I need to go buy some Woody Marks and sell any Monty shares high, because Monty is old and overrated. But I actually like dug into his stats earlier today. And I was like, how do I support this argument if it comes up? And I think when I looked at it, by far the closest analogous situation was Mixon 2 years ago for this same team. They took a guy who had some success earlier, and same team, kind of old in the tooth. And if you look at their pre-Houston numbers, there's certainly a gap. I'm not saying they're exactly the same thing, but you can't tell me there's a huge gap from what they've done before. And Montgomery's problem is more just that he hasn't gotten the pre-Houston Mixon workload. He has never gotten like 100% of the carries. A little bit, but not quite the same. And he still just like is consistently getting you 4+ yards per carry, which is, I think, what that team needs. Like, they clearly didn't like what Marks was bringing them to last year, even though they paid kind of above market for him. I think they said like they drafted him like in the fourth, but they really paid kind of like 2/3 to get him type of thing. I forget what the exact deal was, but people were like, they paid a lot more in draft capital than the actual pick itself would indicate. And I just don't think they liked what they saw at all. So maybe I'm buying a little bit more into Montgomery, but I'm still a little bit skeptical. And you have to be real confident that it's this year, because he is 29. And I think like lately we've been spoiled by the Derrick Henrys of the world, but I don't think you can apply Derrick Henry career and elite ceiling logic to a like grinder like Montgomery.
Agreed. Couple other names I'll throw out there. If you're willing to play the risk, Jacobs is out there, but we don't know what's happening with him yet. It's been very, very quiet since that initial news wave with him. I like DeAndre Swift for like one more year, and then the Bears, I think, are going to probably take a running back. But Swift is definitely the lead this year still. And
yeah, I read this question as like cheap, but I mean, if we're talking aging and he didn't take this out of the equation, no, I'm saying he said not Henry.
Oh,
he didn't say not McCaffrey, who's also 30 years old. And I am going to believe in until he does not do it, because I doubted him when he had those two injury years in a row. I'm like, this guy isn't going to come back and get the same workload and be just as, and he was actually just as good. So once he finally falls off, I'll believe it. But I don't care that he's 30. I will still pay a decent amount for him.
Yeah,
I haven't been paying much for him just because I've never had any shares. I've still been scared off since those two injury years that you mentioned, Rocky. But I've been burned for it the past couple of years because I wind up going against McCaffrey in the playoffs inevitably. I guess my question is just, what is the cutoff for like a veteran running back? Like, does Jonathan Taylor qualify at this point? He's 27 and a half. I don't know.
28, 27 to me.
So maybe Jonathan Taylor fits in there a little bit. He's certainly in his second contract, and he has a lot of question marks behind him. I kind of actually like the idea of investing in both of the guys behind him just because it's not clear who's going to be the number two. And he hasn't exactly been the picture of health in his career. So I don't know. If he stays healthy, he could have a good year. But like we talked about earlier with Downs and with Daniel Jones, we don't know what that offense is going to look like, especially earlier in the year.
Yeah, I just – the only thing that would scare me with him is there has to be touchdown regression coming. He had like 20 touchdowns last year, and you don't normally repeat that. So we'll see, though.
I don't know. He's been good on the goal line his entire career.
He had does a get the ball
when he was working with Anthony Richardson, just because Richardson was taking in some of those touchdowns himself. With him out of the picture, I certainly don't think with Jones a little bit banged up that they're going to be trying to force him into the middle of piles at all. So I wouldn't say 20. 20 is like crazy, but I definitely could see double digit touchdowns for him again.
Actually, both of your points. He did have 20 last year, but it was also his second 20 touchdown season. So
crazy.
They're 4 years apart. That one, the first one was in his second year, and then last year. But yeah, he's definitely touchdown upside. But
I'll do
this offense, maybe not.
I'll do two more since it's time to start buying running backs ahead of the season. Pollard is probably the one in Tennessee, at least for now. So you'll get a year out of him. And then I have Ramondre Stevenson because I heard this stat on CBS, I think it was yesterday. 18 games last year Henderson and Stevenson played together. They had the exact amount, the exact same yards per carry at 4.4, which felt like backwards to me because we kept arguing and yelling that Stevenson was like this plotter getting 2 yards a carry and Henderson was the explosive one. Stevenson had the exact same amount, and it doesn't look always pretty, but he's gonna score points. So Stevenson could be another cheap one. And then his other question is, what underrated wide receiver would you go after that you think their value might rise significantly this year? Significantly is going to be hard because the people who are expected to rise significantly aren't cheap anymore. But Ari, do you
have... Well, we talked about one of them, which was Christian Watson. If he stays healthy and keeps up the same, you know, efficiency stats, that is a much bigger year. Right now, at least on like Keep Trade Cut, for instance, he's wide receiver 32. He's definitely going to be like at least a wide receiver 2 if he stays healthy and keeps those efficiency stats up. So I don't know if that counts as a significant gain, but it's something I'm just looking.
He's wide receiver 34. Yeah, I mean that's a bump for sure. McLaurin could have a bounce back with Jaden coming back.
Rashee Rice, seeing him at wide receiver 28. If he stays healthy, produces the way he's produced before, and I don't see why he wouldn't, because he got no real big added competition there. And like, if he does enough to get an extension there and is locked in with Mahomes for the next like 3-4 years or whatever, like, he's definitely going to be in the top 20 wide receivers.
I've mentioned this before, but I still like... It's still like actually both of them, but Roma Dunze, with Caleb progression, with DJ Moore gone. I know everybody loves Loveland, but he's just going by ADP. He's at like wide receiver 22 on DLF. And I think that could significantly, you know, if he has like a breakout season, that will significantly rise. He's still young quarterback, good offense. So Ben Johnson, all that stuff.
I hadn't thought of it this way before. But now that you mention it, and I'm sorry in advance, Frank, for talking about it this way, but we talked about these messy wide receiver rooms, like in Green Bay. We speculated that maybe Jacksonville turns into something like that. I think that the assumption generally, and I think I had thought about it this way previously as well, is one of Odunze and Burton is going to break out this year and like show themselves to be the guy. But what if it turns itself into a Green Bay situation, a situation that we're looking at and not sure what's going on with Jacksonville, and they just spread it around a bunch such that neither Burden nor Odunze really hit that ceiling. Are we not pricing that risk in enough?
Here's my answer to that as someone who is worried about this as well. First off, both of them are more talented than like Jaden Reed and Christian Watson and, you know, a few others. But I think there's less people than Green Bay. Green Bay had like 5 receivers that were all doing the same thing. And I think Ben Johnson knows the skill sets of these two and are going to be able to differentiate them in different roles. But I agree with you. I do have that risk. And it's more centered around Loveland than the two receivers, because as Rocky will remind me and you and everyone, we rushed Laporta to tight end 3 really quickly after his rookie year in Detroit. And we're doing the same thing again. So,
and I would say Laporta did it for a more extended period of time.
We did.
Like Loveland 100%. Mainly came on very end of the season in playoffs.
Yes. So I would be more worried about Loveland in that sense than the two wide receivers, but I absolutely agree with the risk and the worry about it.
I will say though,
and
trade value does not always equal DLF ADP, but I will say it is kind of baked into the ADP. I think they're both ranked as low end wide receiver 2s, like they're 22 and 24. Right. So it's kind of, I think that is baking in the risk that maybe they're both just wide receiver 2s because it gets spread around and either will price out.
But it is pretty analogous to the Packers situation now that you like talked that out a little bit, because like Rocky, you started off by saying like, I'm probably avoiding the wide receiver room and just like going in on craft. So if you're saying that, Loveland is certainly also a big option to consider there. And I'm not sure that the wide receivers don't pan out kind of the same way. They both have it. Like we talk about Ben Johnson, certainly we're taking it for granted that Green Bay's had a good offensive coach for a long time as well. So hopefully both of them can get their weapons involved in the right way and make them successful in real life and for fantasy.
I will say, I also just believe in the talent of the Bears guys, especially Adunze over anybody in Green Bay, though.
Yeah. If Caleb doesn't hit 4,000 this year, I don't know. We're just going to all cry as a city. I'll give a couple of names. Devontae Smith is wide receiver 23. I think he could easily be top 12 by the end of this year if he plays as well as he should. A.J. Brown could go right back to being top 10 again as the number one in New England. Pick your favorite Cardinal of the two. I think they're going to drive you crazy, but the number one's going to be really good because they're going to pass a lot.
I honestly don't know what is like trade value is at this point, because I haven't tried moving him or gotten offers for him. But on the ADP again, Jalen Waddle is wide receiver 28.
Yeah.
And I think it could really be by the end of the year.
I love him a lot, too. Bargain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him a ton.
I don't think that's a real like league trade value thing, though. Like, I don't think anybody is trading him for wide receiver 28 prices. If you go for him, like, you're going to have to pay, like, possibly even, like, low-end wide receiver 1 value for him at this point. Like, the hype is crazy.
I'm looking at this at the Football Guys Dynasty Rankings. Can someone explain the hype on Tyson to me? Because he's 24 on these rankings. He went in, like, the fifth round of a SFB mock yesterday. Like, am I missing something? He's the number two by a mile in this offense, and I understand.
It's not just that
he's good. I understand he's good, but like, are the Saints going to be the Falcons?
Is insane to me.
I know, or maybe it was six, but still, that's too early.
Yeah,
that's way too early. He's also been hurt. This was the knock on him coming out. Lots of injuries, and I don't think he's gotten on the field yet.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone tell me on Twitter or something. Someone yell at me and say why I'm wrong. But I think we're calling the Saints the Julio Roddy White Falcons a little too fast. So let's just all pump the brakes a little bit. The last name I was going to say, and I lost it.
I have one to put in here, which is Michael Pittman. He had, you know, a year or two in Indianapolis. He got the big contract. Now we're towards the end of that, but Pittsburgh needed someone else. DK Metcalf at this point, I think, is just kind of like the deep guy. He hasn't shown that like route diversity. Pittman's more the guy who's going to collect underneath. I suppose it more depends on if you think Rodgers has enough left in the tank to deliver a good wide receiver season. But if he does, or if Rodgers gets hurt and it seems like Aller or somebody has something, then maybe he can jump up a bit. I'm seeing him at wide receiver 48 here. So like if he has a good season, he's certainly in the wide receiver 3 conversation.
Yeah. I forgot who my other one was, but it doesn't matter. His answer was preseason opener at the News Bill Stadium, which I love. I'm excited for that new stadium. It's going to be sweet. Okay. Haywood Almanac said he was going to be on in a couple weeks. Happy to have Trade Addicts Pod back on. Only 64 days until NFL kickoff. That's crazy.
We're less than a month, they said, now till the preseason, until we have actual football.
Hall of Fame games a month from yesterday. It's crazy, which was what everyone was tweeting when the U.S. got mollywopped yesterday in the World Cup. So he said, courtside seats when my Phoenix Suns were win their first NBA championship, front row at WrestleMania and behind the plate at a World Series game. Those all sound awesome. He says, what players are you all in on right now for your fantasy drafts for today? Who's your my guy? Blah. Mm.
So I'm starting to be all in. I was this way in a rookie season, and what I've seen so far has kind of made that more concrete for me. But I really want to be all in on Mekhi Lemon. And I'm a Giants fan saying this. So, Rocky, tell me if I've gone too far. But, like, all the talk earlier around rookie draft season was – they also drafted Stowers. It's not clear who's going to be on the field if they go, like, you know, with their 12 package or their 13 package, like the league is going. But at this point, like, all the hype on Stowers has been really, really bad. Like, he is not making a good impression. they need someone after Devontae Smith to get the ball to. And I think Lemon is really, really good.
Yeah, I don't hate that. It's funny though. One of the names that popped into my head was actually what Frank said. Devontae Smith is that. I think him getting the chance to shine for like the first time in his career. I mean, I think his first year was pre AJ Brown.
That was a rookie and hurts.
Yeah, exactly.
Not great. And yeah, I don't count that.
And I'm not saying he's going to be a top five wide receiver, but I do. I am pretty in on Devontae Smith myself. And I guess, since it's the second time I've brought him up in the last like few shows, I think we've done, Adunze might be one of my guys too. He's the guy I really think is going to break out this year. I just think he's too talented. And like I said, with Moore leaving, that helps a little bit, just to concentrate the targets a little more. And Caleb getting better and better.
Are you down on Burden or just really?
No, I'm just high on Adunze. I mean, I like both of them.
The two.
Yeah. I do think it's possibly either, or I do think one of them will be. I don't think it's gonna be what you said earlier, where it's like a Green Bay situation. I do think like one of them's gonna break out. I see Adunze as a more consistent fantasy producer type of guy.
Fair.
Man, I have, so my first one is easy, and I think it's going to be my bold prediction this year. Kyler Murray's going back to being a top 10 quarterback.
You're not going to have to convince Rocky of that one.
No.
I think
I should have said that one. I'm also on the Kyler train as well, so I think we're back to being a fully Kyler Murray podcast.
Yes.
I think Kyler is fully back. I'm going to say one.
The question is, what do you want for him, by the way? Like, do you want, explode? You clearly want him to explode this year in Minnesota. But after that, do you want him to re-sign with Minnesota and stay hooked to KOC? Or do you want him to go somewhere else?
No, I want him to stay with O'Connell because he, and I think I said this on another show, this is the type of offense where he's succeeded. He played with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, which is kind of a spread it out West Coast system. He played under Kingsbury in Arizona, which was a spread it out West Coast system. This is the same thing where it's going to be three wide receivers who are moving all over the place. You can hit them in stride. It's not going to be this like power run BS that Gannon was running with Kyler the last couple of years. I think he's going to finally be able to do what he can do again. And I want him to stay as long as possible because I think he is the best possible option for the Vikings, regardless of what he costs at this point. My other guy, it might be ETN and Achan, and I'm not scared of Kamara, and we are sending all of these dang wide receivers to the moon, like Olave and Tyson, and Shuck is going top 12 in some places now, and it's just like, and everyone doesn't believe that the running back of this offense is going to be good, and Kellen had very good success with Saquon, as Rocky will be the first to tell you. Kellen knows how to use his running backs, and I think ETN is going to be just fine. And I think, and I kind of regret selling him when I did last year, right after I fell out of contention. I sold him for like something bad. I don't remember what it was, but I regret getting rid of him. And If you have him, like, don't sell him for peanuts. Like, I think he's going to be just fine, if not better, in New Orleans, because I think that offense is going to be great. So, Rocky,
my question is this: like you said, send the receivers to the moon. The thing that's getting lost is Shuck had a good like half, three quarters of the season. I forget exactly when he took over as starter, but he had a lot of injury history coming out in college also. So like, if he falls out, you're stuck with like Rattler or something again. I don't even know who their backup is going to wind up being. Like, that entire situation could fall apart real quick. I do like the Kellen Moore offense, but there's a lot of injury concerns all over the place. Olave, Tyson, and Shuck. If even like two out of the three of those go down, I think that offense could collapse.
Agreed. But I think even Rattler can throw it 2 yards to his right to ETN. At least I hope so. I like Devontae Smith, like Rocky. He's not a my guy because I think everyone's on this. AJ Brown's going right back to where he was. I think everyone's going to be very happy with AJ Brown in New England. Okay, on to Dynastud's questions. I always ask what should you care about these days? And the answer is usually you ignore the hype stuff, but pay attention to the negative stuff. So maybe we isolate what are the negative things we've heard. Ari, I wanted to throw this at you because you put this on the sheet. Stowers is kind of disappearing a little bit, huh? And is that concerning you for his dynasty value? Or is that concerning you for just this season and he's fine going forward?
I'm at least concerned this season. I think that we got spoiled by the Bowers, the Laportas, the Warrens, even Loveland at the end of the year last year, late in season one. But all those guys, well, maybe I didn't mention Fannin for a reason, which is that all the guys that I mentioned went at least 19 picks earlier than Stowers in much better draft classes.
Yes.
So he didn't go with like crazy draft capital. Round two in general is certainly good, but he was more like middle of the round. He certainly got potential, but I just don't see it happening year one. What I would say is maybe try to buy a year from now, but I fell in this trap once before. I really liked JSN as a rookie before the NFL draft actually happened. Then he went to that spot and was behind Metcalf and Lockett. And I was like, I just don't see it year one. And I was like, I'll trade for him in a year. And then I missed my opportunities. People were offering me JSN for like a second. And I'm like kicking myself. They were like begging me, like, please take JSN for a second. And I didn't do it. And I'm like, ugh, I really like the player. And I didn't get any shares because of that. So if you really like him, like, go get him, but just be prepared. You need to hold on through what might be a bumpy ride early on.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about – I know there has definitely been some negative around Stowers, but I was never expecting much from him this year to begin with. Like, we've seen the Eagles do this before with Goddard and with Ertz, for that matter, years and years ago, that they bring a guy in, he does hardly anything the first year behind an established guy, and then year two or year three is when he really breaks out. So it's literally the exact same thing they've done with their last two tight ends that they've had for then like 5 to 10 years afterwards. So that's kind of where I'm at with him anyway. I was just not expecting anything at really like significant until at least year two, maybe year three.
Yeah. There hasn't been many other negative things that I've seen. Like, there's no one really getting ripped in camp. Like, you know, J.J. McCarthy got beat to hell in the media last year during camp, and it appears to be well-founded at this point. But
I guess maybe the neighbors' health stuff.
Yeah. I'm kind of on the opinion, and I think I said this off camera, that he's going on PUP, and we're just going to see him halfway through the season at this point.
Yeah.
So
I'm not even sure like when, because like number one, you don't want to rush this guy back. He's clearly like the offensive weapon. You already are dealing with horrible turf in MetLife.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want him back till he's like legitimately 100%. And I'm a Giants fan saying this. Rocky is probably like, yeah, put him on the field week one.
They have a week 8 bye. I could see that.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Because
the other one is Gino, I guess. There was this like story of him being investigated for domestic battery. It's obviously not good, but it feels like to me that there would have been more made of this story if he was going to go on like the restricted list or whatever.
Yeah,
I
saw you post that, and I hadn't seen it many other places. I saw the tweet you sourced it from, obviously, but like no one ran with that one as much as I expected that. So I guess it could have been a disclaimer. All abuse is bad. It could have been a false 100%. Alarm or something like that. Like it could have been something that, you know, was mistaken or so. I agree. That's a big one. If that has something to do with it. On the positive side, I think now you start paying attention to workloads a little bit. Like, we start looking at Montgomery's going to be the lead back in Houston with Woody being kind of third down back. That's kind of the stuff I'm watching now, but that's about it for now. I think Corum and Kyren are like splitting a bunch, which I think is just going to make us pull our hair out with those two again, but especially Kyren. But I'm going to regret trading for him. I traded for Kyren for a playoff push, and I know I'm going to regret that.
think basically my take on that situation is I want to own both if possible. I'm very confident that whoever the number one running back in Los Angeles is going to get some fantasy goodness. So if I have Kyren, I want Corum. If I have Corum, I ideally want Kyren, just so like I have a more locked in starter, whoever is running in that system.
Yep. Okay.
Do you do that a lot, by the way? Like
try and have both
the one and two in a given system?
It depends. Like Corum and Kyren are a hard one because it's like owning Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones when they were both on the Packers, or
they both have too much value combined.
Yeah.
Like, individually.
It's easier with like, well, not Gibbs, but Gibbs and Pacheco. Like it's easier to get Pacheco if you have Gibbs right now, or easier to get the other Robinson twin if you have Bijan. And I'm petrified I'm going to mess that up on Saturday or on Sunday, by the way. I'm going to grab the wrong Robinson. I'm going to study every stupid thing about that sticker. You can get any of those kind of down. I think the handcuffs are easier to attain, but I don't. Corum and Kyren is hard, and like Menungai and Swift is hard, and because as Rocky said, they both have value, so it's easier to get kind of those players in their rookie drafts, right? If you have Kyren, take Corum in the rookie draft, or if you have this year, if you have Genty, you take Washington and stuff like that. I think is better to do it that way. So you talked about value of injury away guys at running back and even quarterback, but are there any injury away guys you want to roster for value rises at wide receiver or tight end? It's more tight end than wide receiver, right? Because
yeah, I just think at those two positions, even tight end, it's rarely that clean, like the way it is at running back and quarterback.
Kittle and Tonjes are the only example I have that comes to mind immediately, because Tonjes plays the exact Kittle role, like down to the point scoring, but doesn't touch the field when Kittle's there. I don't know, Ari, did you have an example when you asked this, or were you thinking about?
No, I was trying to get ideas, but I'm just like looking at a list of wide receivers and tight ends now, and one idea that I had was we just talked about Kyler very positively. What if something happens, you know, God forbid, to Justin Jefferson? Do Addison or Hawk come and become like a big thing?
Juwan Jennings.
Or Juwan Jennings
is getting some hype now, which is weird. I don't like it. Like, he's not better than Addison, and I don't know why he's getting put above him, but there's not just like one person saying it. So
yeah, I just think that when wide receivers get hurt, even really, really good ones, I think it more just tends to then get spread out more, or the team runs more, or the targets just get shifted around a little more. And I think it's rare that you see a specific guy really take off just because another guy got hurt at receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe I could see it now that I'm looking at it in Denver. Again, we talked about Waddle very positively, but we already saw that offense basically with that room minus Waddle, and it was Sutton who was the beneficiary. He's sitting here at wide receiver 54 around there. He would jump up big time if something happened to Waddle.
Yeah. Tyson, if Olave went down, could be an instant fit. if Jerry Jeudy got the hell out of the way, the two rookies in Cleveland could be interesting, but they're just I said somewhere that like our karma is going to be that Deshaun Watson and Jerry Jeudy are going to be like the two best players in Cleveland this year, just to ruin all our lives, just to mess everything up. So,
by the way, the hype on the rookie guys in Cleveland is the opposite of what I expected. I was like really in on Concepcion, really out on Boston, and the hype has been the exact opposite. Boston has apparently been the one who's been blowing people's socks off, while Concepcion is slower to take off. Let's say it that way.
Cleveland doesn't know anything anyway, so that makes sense that they say Boston's better. I don't know. I think it's probably a tight end. Like Kmet for Loveland is one maybe, but Komet is probably – the Bears should trade him. He's too talented to just be like the second tight end in a 12 set. So the Rams have 100 tight ends that could all play at some point. But, yeah, there's not a lot of handcuffs for tight ends and stuff like that. Okay. This is going to be a funny question. What is your favorite appropriate for podcasting fantasy team name and why?
I didn't actually have anything in mind. I asked this legitimately curiously because I'm one of those people who's hilariously uncreative. Like my process for coming up with a team name is basically
go into ChatGPT,
enter my players, and say, give me some ideas.
I will say one then. In my league, I do with my college friends. It keeps us all together. We're in like year 12 of it now. I dedicated my fantasy team, which at the time was Herbert at quarterback, Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, and AJ Brown at the four wide receivers. And I didn't have many running backs or anything. So I dedicated it to Mike Leach because he had died that year. And I called it the Mike Leach Air Raiders. And that won the title that year. So that's my favorite team name. I change that team name every year, though. I think it's Trade Addicts right now, so I'll have to figure out a new name this year. But, yeah, that's kind of the one I would think about. My old job had team names that all had, like, stupid meanings behind like certain inside jokes, but it's hard to explain without kind of going into every story behind it. But those are always the fun team names where it's like kind of inside jokes and stuff like that to me. Rocky, any, or are you Mr. Not Creative as well?
I am very not creative. I don't really have any great funny or punny team names. A lot of my team names are Rocky or Dynasty Addict, especially in the Trade Addicts leagues. Or like a lot of that I commission are themes, and like I have one that's a horror theme, and everyone's just named after a horror character, so I just picked a horror character and that kind of thing. Again, this one's not funny. You said favorite, so this is the one I like. It's just one of my very first Dynasty Leagues, a home Dynasty League. Started probably 2016, 2017, so it very much fit then with what the Sixers were doing. And I thought it just went so well with Dynasty, so I call my team Trust the Process. and I had a little Joel Embiid with this funny Eagles bird hat on his head and as my logo on NFL. So, again, not super creative or funny, but I liked it.
Rocky also plays in a league, I know it because I used to be in it, where every team name is named after draft bus. Like,
yes. My team's Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah, Freddie Mitchell. Mine was Kevin All-Stars. White at the time. Yeah. Yeah. The other one I guess is funny is my TA6 team is named Travis County Ladder Climbers because I had every Travis in the league on my team. I had Hunter, Kelsey and ETN all on the same team, so everyone made fun of my I had all Travis team. Anyways, all right, Ari, you have a Malik Willis commissioner question, and I'm gonna let Robbie answer it because he's the commissioner of like all everything.
Okay, so I know the real answer to this question. I joined a league in Orphan in the off season, and the real answer is that the problem is that there were no written rules. Everything was just kind of like go with the flow because it was like a home league, everyone's first dynasty experience. I think the league was literally called like Dynasty Virgins because it was everyone's first dynasty league, just like getting their toe in the water. And that's clearly the real problem here, but that's unlikely to change because most people aren't like loophole loving degenerates like me. But basically I joined this league. It seems that I was like looking around the league late last year, someone somehow dropped Malik Willis. He sat there all offseason. This is a super flex league, so he actually has like significant value. He sat there all offseason until waivers opened back up post-rookie draft. And clearly I and a few other people noticed that. So Sleeper has this annoying issue. And Frank said you're going to love this, Rocky, because you hate Sleeper. Yes. But it basically assumes that you're doing a snake redraft league in terms of waiver priority. So like last pick in the draft gets first priority on waivers by default.
That's
and
how
you have to manually go in to change it back to the worst teams get the first waiver pick, like it's supposed to be logically. And that makes zero sense for Dynasty. So I noticed this before waivers run. I privately messaged the commissioner pointing out the issue, asking him to fix it. He agreed in private messages to fix it, but he forgot. So waivers run, the third best team in the league last year got Malik Willis. I immediately on the league chat note, like, I have an objection to this. I talked to the commissioner. He said he was going to fix this. And this led to like this whole big dispute in the league chat. So some people are like, you have to keep it as it is, even if it makes no sense. This league has been on sleeper forever. And so that's seemingly been messed up for years. So there's like precedent. It has like the status of a rule, even though there's no rules. And people were like, you private messaging the commissioner rather than publicly messaging seems kind of sketchy, and you can't change things retroactively. Now that waivers has run, you kind of have to keep it there and let things change for next year. But again, this makes no sense to have that waiver priority as it is. The commissioner was notified in advance, agreed to fix it. No other changes that are relevant have been made. So it's easier to just take him off of that team and put him on the other team that should have gotten him. Where do you stand on that?
Did anybody else get claimed in this waiver room?
Yes. But like it was easy enough to undo it. Like it was like literally like three teams just put in their full $100 of fab. And it was just down to the waiver priority. And it was clearly going to happen if people were paying attention even beforehand, which is why I mentioned it to the commission.
Yeah, I think it needs to be reversed then. If you hadn't specifically asked and he said he was going to do it, then I would be more on your league mate's side, where we've always done it this way and we can't change it now. And also the fact too that it's not a written down rule anyway. So, I mean, with no established rules, I feel like what the commissioner said should go, and it's the one that makes the most logical sense. Now he should have, you know, again, you said you're all like, when you started this, we're just getting into Dynasty and not crazy degenerates like us who always know to write bylaws. But you should very much suggest that he write bylaws so this doesn't happen in the future. That's the biggest problem here. If there are bylaws, then you could just point right to that and say, this is what we should be doing. But I agree with you. I think that, and not just because you're on the show, I do think when you specifically asked about it and he said that he was going to do it, then I think at that point it's simply like he forgot. I mean, that's not a reason that we have to keep things wrong after he literally said he was changing it before waivers ran and then he forgot.
Yep.
Because if you didn't forget, then this would have happened and nobody probably would have noticed except you. So he had remembered. So, yeah.
I have a fix to this. And I do this in that same college league. I help commission it. I don't be the person who settles anything, but I like run the sleeper site and everything because I'm like the only one who knows how to do it. So I open the entire pool for rookie draft. Willis is draftable in rookie drafts. If you want to burn your 107 on Willis as opposed to taking Casey Concepcion, you have every right to do that, but that's your pick. That's usually my pick for stuff like this.
I mean, I think Trade Addict says waiver, you can draft waiver guys, or they used to.
I think you can too. Yeah. So really? It's something like that, where you can fix it and have prospects in the pool as well as rookies. So that's how I would fix it going forward. But I agree with Rocky. I think you have to cancel it.
Yeah. Now that it's happened, it needs to be.
Yeah.
It needs to go to the team it should have gone to.
Yes.
Was that you or was that somebody else?
I was not the commissioner. I was the guy who should have.
No. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You were the one. That's what I was asking. Who should have? Because I don't know. You said there were three. So I know maybe it was the other guy that should have.
No, if he got Willis, he wouldn't ask this question. He would have run with it.
No, I knew he didn't get him.
But guy I was like in between.
Yeah. I was just wondering if he was arguing out of principle or he was actually the one that should have gotten him.
Yeah. All right, let's go to it.
Trade Addicts Trades.
Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team Superflex PPR 10 pre with 1.75 per time reception, 0.05 per return on all leagues except TA1. And we have a TA1 trade. We have Jacoby Brissett for Chig Okonkwo and a 28 second. Yuck.
I am clearly on the Chig in the second side here. At first glance, I was like, this is just basically rebuilder versus contender. But I'm not even convinced that Brissett is worth the second, based on the fact that I have Brissett in a couple leagues, have tried to trade him and have not been able to get a second. Getting Chig on top, especially in a tight end premium league, that very much breaks the tie for me. And people looking at Brissett, like, yeah, he put up some like crazy stats last year, but that was with a different coach. Like, there's nothing suggesting that this is going to be the system this year. And I don't think that LaFleur wants him throwing 8,000 times per game. So even if he does, he's probably going to get injured because that team is awful. And then you're going to see like Carson Beck reaping the rewards.
Yeah.
I'm with Dynastud here. I actually kind of low-key like Chig a little bit this season just because we've seen Jaden. I mean, granted, Zach Ertz and Chig Okonkwo are very different players, types of players, but we've seen good tight end production with Jaden Daniels when he's at his best. I do think Jaden Daniels is going to rebound this year. And like he said, you're getting the second on top of it. And Brissett is yeah, I mean, he could be the starter for the whole year, and he could very well not. And even if Chig isn't anything special, he's still something that you're probably going to be able to, like, a 10-point-a-game guy that you're probably going to have for the next few years, and you're getting the pick on top of it. So, yeah, a year from now, Jacoby Brissett's probably going to be a big fat nothing.
I have seen some absolutely bat crazy away like ranking of Chig this year, and I don't know why. I saw someone on Twitter put him at tight end 5.
Yeah, that's insane. But Ertz did perform very well, and that's, you know, like I said, they're different players, but he did perform very well 2 years ago.
If you want to say he's a
Daniels with his group,
if you want to say he's a tight end 1, meaning he's in the top 12, I'm right there. But let's pump the brakes on Chig.
No, I agree totally.
He hasn't been – he's athletic. He's talented. I get it. Let's see him do it first. We've overhyped him plenty of times in the past, and he's done nothing with it. So
I just used him as, like, a throw-in. Like, we had drafted Carnell Tate at the 103 because we couldn't find any takers on the clock with offers that we were happy with.
Yeah.
And then we traded Tate and Okonkwo to a Tennessee fan for Drake London, and I was ecstatic with that upgrade.
Yeah. That's just – we're doing this thing with the athletic tight end again where we did this with Njoku for years before he actually showed up, and we need to just really pump the brakes on Okonkwo, and let's see if he can actually do it first. Looking at the other trades. Okay, we'll do this.
Outhouse trade of the week. Outhouse trade of the week. We're gonna talk about a Tradex trade, whichever one.
Love it.
Yeah. This is the biggest one. TA7, Bucky Irving, Terry McLaurin, Calvin Ridley, and Khalil Shakir for Michael Pittman, Ricky Pearsall, Josh Downs, and Nick Singleton. What the heck? Okay.
In big trades like this, it's really hard for me to analyze because there's just like so many pieces involved, and like they're all over the map. But
they're all the same.
I can't help but think that the two best players are on one side here, and so that's the side I'm going to go with. I think Bucky and McLaurin might be the two best players in this trade.
This is definitely someone who still believes in Pearsall, right?
Yep.
Trading Bucky away, getting Downs back for the Colts, getting Pittman back, who's, along with Ari, probably putting him as the number one guy in Pittsburgh. This is someone who still believes in Pearsall.
And I do think this is like sort of, that side is sort of a, like, you could view all those as younger players. Well, obviously Singleton's a rookie, but Josh Downs, Pearsall, Pittman, not so much, but you could also view him as someone whose value is going to rise. So even if you're a rebuilding team, you could think you could maybe sell him for more later. So I feel like that's kind of what was going on here, but I don't love any of those players on that side.
The Ridley one breaks my brain. I don't like Ridley being there. Like, that's what breaks my brain here. Because
Well, that's on the more older contending side.
But even that, like, he has Tate and Wandale there. Is he even like a contender asset at this point?
I don't know.
Happen to be like a
maybe
guy
the other guy wanted to get rid of Ridley. Who knows?
But I don't know.
And the other guy just wanted to get rid of Ridley, and
he didn't want to drop him straight up. He's like, just take him for free.
But I agree with
the same thing, but with a lower ceiling. Like, he's had some success in the past and been startable for stretches, but now DJ Moore is there. Like, nobody wants it.
Yeah,
but I agree with Dynasty. Just I want Bucky and Terry McLaurin, so that's the side I'm going to take. And even if I'm rebuilding or whatever that is going on the other side, I don't trust any of those players enough to want that side.
This might mean I'm fully out on Bucky. I think I want the Pittman side.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm done with Bucky because, you know, Tucker's there and Gainwell's there and Bucky kind of limped into the end of last year and he could be great and he's going to prove me wrong. But when you look at everything on that side, I like Shakir more than most. I don't think his production is going anywhere with DJ Moore. I think DJ's just going to take it from the giant pile of wide receivers who was competing with Shakir. I think Pearsall is still interesting. I know I'm going to keep falling for him. Singleton could be the starter in Tennessee by the end of this season. And if we believe what Ari said about Pittman, then the right side is actually the Pittman side. Mm-hmm. But Bucky, as of now, is probably the highest value in this trade. So I guess I get it. But it's this trade breaks my brain. I don't know why I'm stuck on this one, but I think it's because I can't break it down piece by piece. Like, you know how Rocky and I used to say, like, Bucky's worth this, and they're all the same dang piece. Like, I don't know how, like Downs is equal to McLaurin, Ridley is equal to Singleton, Shakir is equal to Pittman. Like, so I guess Bucky breaks the tie over Pearsall. I mean, I guess that's the answer, but they're all the same piece. I don't know. It's probably the Pittman side, but I don't do these types of trades where you give like four players each. It's just it hurts my head.
It goes back to the team name thing about I'm not nearly creative enough to figure out the nine pieces on either side that's going to work. I'm just like, two for two.
This was a stupid calculator trade. I'm just putting it together now. This was 100% a calculator trade, and that's why Ridley's there. Because he's worth 30 points on the stupid DLF trade analyzer. It's not stupid. I use it on the trade analyzer. And that's why Ridley got thrown on there to even out the number. Ugh, I hate those types of trades. I didn't when I first started playing. Being on this show has made me hate these because it just doesn't make sense to me. Okay. So, Rocky, what happened in CA8?
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to include this or not.
It's not like the answer is easily McConkey, but is there a funny story here or something?
Just what I put in under the trade there. Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it with the first and if it makes it, you know, if it's.
Yeah, I think let's talk about it with the first. Okay. And see if that changes anything.
All right. So the trade that got done is McConkey for 227 seconds and Chris Brazel. That was a mistake. Someone asked for a first and a second, but got
they intended seconds. To ask for a first
yes,
and a second
and hit the wrong button because
the other person accepted and apparently thought just went, okay, I screwed up. I'm not even going to ask you to reverse it. So it stayed.
I kind of respect that a little bit. That just
I respect
just,
that a lot. I definitely wouldn't be able to do that. So.
No, I wouldn't.
But he put in the chat that, yeah, he intended to ask for a first and second and misclicked.
MFL so is
first, a second, and Chris Brazel.
Yeah, like 27 first. Yeah.
So yes, the trade we will discuss is McConkey, a 27 first, a 27 second, and Chris Brazel. McConkey still, I think. I'm falling for this again, and Rocky and I have hated McConkey for basically since he got here. And I do this thing where the new coordinator and the wide receiver are going to be great. And I've fallen for it a couple of times, and I think I'm just going to get hurt again, but I'll go with McConkey here because Brazel is in this giant pile of crap in Carolina behind Tet, and McConkey is worth more than a first and a second to me. So I guess that's my breakdown, but
I guess it's like contender versus rebuilder at this point.
Yes.
I think that McConkey could be great this year. As you said, there's some uncertainty there with the new coordinator and all that. Like, how sure are we that McConkey is even going to be on the field if they're going heavy tight end? And they invested a lot at tight end this year. They already had Gadsden. They brought in Njoku. They brought in Charlie Kohler. I'm not sure what McConkey's role is going to be. I've always been a McConkey guy in theory based on the underlying analytics and things that I've seen on Twitter. I'm not much of an analyst myself. I just kind of see what people put out there and are like, oh, that's interesting. I want to invest in that. But I don't know. If I'm a rebuilder, I don't want to put too many eggs in that basket and worry that he's not going to pan out and now I have no value to trade away. I would rather have the liquid picks to deal with and let someone else deal with the player on the field.
Yeah. First off, I think that might be the first time Charlie Kohler has ever been talked about on this show. So that's how it shows how concerned Rocky and I are about Charlie Kohler on the offense. But I don't disagree. I think it's a tough team to figure out. The fact that they haven't signed Keenan Allen yet still blows my mind, but it doesn't look like they're going to do it. Yeah, it's just I'll take McConkey over the picks because Brazel's worth nothing to me at this point. Brazel's a dart throw. There's 100 just like him.
I agree that Brazel's worth nothing. I think, and it's hard to do this even now, but I feel like it's probably dependent on that first for me because I'm still not a big McConkey fan. But if this, like, this the Tyler got McConkey here.
Oh, seriously?
Trip. So yeah. So if it's Tyler's first, then yeah, no, not, I want yeah. Then the I still want McConkey. If it's a mid-ish with chance, maybe chance to even be a little higher first, then I think I might be willing to send off McConkey to that first.
I do it too, but can we stop giving Tyler good players, please?
Well, like you said, this was a misclick, but
yeah. I know.
Well, he's still getting a good player, even with if he gets.
God, I missed this entirely. Then I didn't even put it together. I'm in TA.
Yeah, I mean, I think it happened. Like a week and a half ago, something like that.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You were, I think, off honeymooning still or something. Yes. I don't know. Yes, easy to miss.
Yeah. Okay. Last one is TA10, Tyler Shuck and Jordan James for a 28 first. So Tyler Shuck for a 28 first.
I always want to write James Jordan, by the way.
Me too. I want to say
two first names, always a crowd pleaser.
Yes.
This one is the most fascinating to me, and I'm surprised that you're willing to write off Jordan James so quickly. I know they draft Kalen Black or whatever his name is,
yes,
but like we've seen this show before with Shanahan. He drafted like Tyrion Davis Price in the like some round, and people were willing to go for him. I think it was the second or the third, and like, he doesn't care about draft capital once you're on the team. He's just like, I'm going to put the player who I think gives us the best chance to win out there. And before the draft, Jordan James was the one getting the hype as opposed to, I forget his name, the really fast Garendo. One who they drafted. Yeah. Jordan James was getting the hype over Garendo, even though he had less draft capital behind him. So I think there is a world in which Jordan James gets the work if something happens to McCaffrey. I don't think he's nothing, and I happen to like injury away running backs in general as just like a team building theory type of thing. So he's not nothing to me, but he's certainly not the significant piece. I agree that the significant piece is Shuck for first. I don't know what to do about it. I have a couple of Shuck shares. I always like those quarterbacks who got like a little bit underdrafted in the real NFL draft, but have a shot to start. He put up like good efficiency type of numbers in his first year, but that injury concern is still like in the back of my brain somewhere bothering me. Again, it kind of just comes back to rebuilder or contender for me. If I need Shuck to start for me year one, I'll probably take that side. Otherwise, I'll take the liquidity of the pick.
I think personally, I'm not ready to pay a first for Shuck. And really? I agree that, yeah, I'm not a believer yet. I need to see more. Even a 28 first. And like you said, Jordan James isn't nothing, but that's not moving the needle too much in terms of giving up a first for me. So maybe I'm undervaluing Shuck. I mean, I think this is fair. I'm just saying I personally would not want to send a first for Shuck.
I would send a first, a 28 first for Shuck. Maybe not a 27, but yeah, I think I'm bought in. And it's probably too early, and I'm probably doing the Jets thing again where I said they'd be top 10 last year. But
I think you're more doing the C.J. Stroud rookie year thing.
Yeah.
Like the sophomore slump is real. Like I hear Rocky's argument 100%. I would feel much better about Shuck if I saw it for another complete
season. And he has much less pedigree.
And he's still good.
Yeah, and he has much less pedigree than some guys who've fallen off. Like Jaden Daniels fell off last season. In his second year. So
yeah,
see how it goes. But yeah.
Speaking of pedigree, Rocky just triggered something in my brain, and it's something I heard a lot as I was catching up to get back into football mode. The people who say J.J. McCarthy is a good quarterback because he won a national title need to stop. Vince Young won a national title. Tim Tebow won two. A.J. McCarron won two. Like, that means nothing. It means literally nothing.
College. Who's been mentioned more on this show, Charlie Kohler or Vince Young and A.J. McCarron?
Yeah, I mean, I am so unbelievably tired of that argument. First off, J.J. McCarthy didn't win the national title. His defense and his running game did. Second off, the winning the national title in college means literally next to nothing. And we rip Tebow still to this day about how he did this little Tebow time thing and then fell off a cliff. And I am a Tebow diehard. Tebow is my Lord and Savior. I have watched him forever. I have a signed game worn jersey. I love Tim Tebow. But
really?
Yes. That's awesome. Let's stop doing that. The Vikings got it wrong. They did. And if J.J. McCarthy comes out and wins a Super Bowl like Sam Darnold, I'll do something crazy on this show. But, like, he's done. Kyler's going to take this job. Let's stop being the J.J. McCarthy truthers and saying he won a title, the talent's there. When J.J. McCarthy had the chance to win games for Michigan, he lost to TCU, who went on to lose like 60-0 to Georgia. He's not good. I'm sorry, people. He's just not.
That's so I have two follow-up questions.
Two. Yes, please.
If you're right about this, and I'm definitely open to that idea, even though I have some McCarthy shares that I'm sadly holding on to. Number one, what happens to him? Does he just stick around as Minnesota's backup after they re-sign Kyler? And number two, in that scenario, what are you trading for him? Or what are you trading him for?
McCarthy?
Like, you're getting out for, like, a third? Do you want a second?
A bag
like,
of chips. Literally. He's not worth anything to me. You sell him to the Kyler owner.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you a McCarthy guy, Rocky?
No. I'm basically...
So would you give him for any second at this point?
No. Give him for a second? Yeah, no one's giving me that. Yeah. I'll do that.
Not even a Kyler owner?
No.
I don't think so.
I did a trade with Tyler.
I would do that, yes.
Where I got Kyler and JJ together, which like I think made more sense at the time. But
so maybe that's the trade. Kyler guy already has McCarthy and get them the package.
Yeah. Or do it that way. Yeah. But like trying to find the trade really quickly because I know we're going late. Like that's the answer is yes, he's probably a backup. And it wasn't T8, whatever. I'll find it for another time. But he's a backup because he's getting paid to be there, and the Vikings aren't just going to get rid of someone who basically they already like in a lot of the first round picks money is signing bonus. They paid him all the money already. Like there's no point in letting him go. He should just sit there and learn from Kyler, if anything. And yeah, I think he's worth nothing, unfortunately. So that's the problem. Okay. That is the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Ari, for getting up bright and early. It is 6:17 in the morning where Ari is now. So he gets to start his day right after doing the podcast.
Rocky had to duck out to pick up his daughter, and yes. I'm actually about to get my daughter ready for camp. So
perfect. So we will jump off before we get going. Why don't you remind everyone where they can find your stuff? Obviously, you're in the questions, but where Twitter handle all that stuff real quick.
Yeah, at Football Dynastad, FT Ball Dynastad. And yeah, I'm basically just in the questions, occasionally retweeting cool content that I see. But yes. For the most part, just kind of lurking, consuming other people's content, and happy to chat. If anyone ever wants to talk football, I'm a little bit of a degenerate.
Yes.
Frank has noted and appreciated.
Yes. Our stuff, patreon.com/TreyXPod. You can watch us while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Fantasy Cares, there's a ton of campaigns right now. Go to fantasycares.org/campaigns. SFB slow draft started yesterday as of the time of recording this and shows there's trivia Tuesday nights and the Wednesday night hangout. And as Rush Rusher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.